Thank you, dear Lord, for teaching us the true meaning of brotherly love and the example that you set before us of washing one another's feet. I pray we all have that grace to serve even as you stooped to serve us. Amen. Dear ones, the Lord has been showing me my carelessness in taking care of others or not taking care. Remember, the Lord fed the people and met their most basic needs as well as the spiritual ones. We should never pass up an opportunity to help others, whether it's our job or not. Our hearts must be softened to the point where we do not put a strain on others to perform beyond their ability or to suffer lack and want when we can do something for them. In a community setting, there are many needs that pop up randomly, and because we are family, we should lay down our agenda when something necessary to others is missing and provide for them. I'm the type of person that values her independence and being able to do whatever I want when I want to do it. Wow, has the Lord changed that one? Years and years of being a mother has changed that as well. And in a community setting, we are all mothers when a need arises that only we can fulfill. What would Jesus do? Do we walk away and say, stay warm and well-fed, when they neither have food nor warm clothing? He taught us by example that charity is the greatest virtue. Not high and mystical experiences with God, not building programs, not our own personal need to be alone, but charity, meaning that when a need arises that only we can fulfill, we should lay aside our own agenda for that moment and take up for the needs of our brother or sister. That's called the sacrament of the moment. Independence can be a very good thing as long as we are led by God and dependent still upon Him. But when independence becomes a proud attitude so that we protect our rights without regard to the weaker ones among us, we have failed in charity. For the 100 millionth time, I quote Bob Jones, when he had an NDE and showed up in heaven, the gatekeeper asked him only one thing: did you learn to love? I'm sure Bob had a long list of accomplishments to defend himself with: his knowledge, his organizational skills, his stewardship, his mission skills, his prophecy and scripture knowledge, and on. But he was sent back because he mastered all these things, but failed to love his brother as he loved himself. Even as the scriptures state, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a ringing gong and a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have absolute faith so as to move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. That's 1 Corinthians 13:1. In a community in the wilderness, you have those who are dependent on the outside sources to eat and drink water. You have those who are very fragile from being abandoned all their lives. You have those who might not be able to keep up with another skilled person, such as a driver. All of these situations call out to us to lay aside our usual modus operandi and cater to that person's weakness. What would Jesus do? I confess I have failed in these areas and not been as vigilant to the needs on the mountain as I should have been. There's a learning curve, and people don't always communicate their need out of shyness or fear. But if we are people of prayer and have listened for God's voice and have been guided by the Holy Spirit, surely, surely, we are sensitive enough to recognize the needs and the cry of another, even when it's not stated. My problem is work overload. So that in the past, I've been constantly scurrying around, trying to keep up with the many demands on my time. Notice I said, in the past? Well, that's left me somewhat short in recognizing and doing something about the needs of others. But I'm learning. Lord, I really need you to speak to us. Jesus began, "Dear children, I say children in all seriousness, you still have need of sensitivity to the needs and insecurities of others. You are to be mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, always alert to the needs of others. I have no body here on earth but yours. Yours are my hands. Yours are my feet. Yours is my heart. And if you do not stoop to the needs of others as I did, you are useless to me. Prayers, ecstasies, great works, great art and music are nothing to me if you are not living in great love for others and are blind to the crushing needs of those around you. Do not walk by a situation without making it better, my children. Always find a way to make it better. You are my ambassadors of love, and no matter what else you have accomplished in your life, if loving others did not come first, you are sorely lacking. These are heaven's standards." Just as the Lord said that, I needed to catch a nap. So I visited my tiny library before I went to lay down and grabbed the nearest book. And what do you suppose I opened to? This was in the Rhema book. "These times are rife with lies, distortions, theories, and proclamations not from my mouth. And your faith is not one of confusion, but one of clarity, joy, and peace. Yet those who come to this channel have been fed by the world and have had their fill of the world, of religion and churchianity." Jesus interrupted me as I was reading and said, "And I might add, kind words without deeds to back them up." And here's more. "They are looking for relationship not only from those who are truly caring and are real Christians and take time for them, but relationship with me they can count on. Teach them those skills and refer them to the videos that clarify those skills. Take the extra time to make sure that they've latched on to some solid food." Jesus interrupted again. "Take the time. Those are key words. In other words, children, go out of yourselves, your comfort zone, your preferences, and your agenda. Take the time to be Jesus to them. This is what I'm asking of you." The readings continued. "I wish for you all to stick together and be supportive of one another." Wow. This is the Lord speaking straight from the Rhema book. And this is what I opened to. "I wish for you all to stick together and be supportive of one another. It is the mark of my end times army, brotherly love. For however long you were here, I want you to advance in holiness, my brides. Remember, it's not about prosperity, popularity, and power, but righteousness, peace, and joy in my Holy Spirit in the midst of a corrupt and challenging world." These readings, by the way, were under the Peace page, 348. Jesus continued, "Righteousness and brotherly love are key words here. Do you know which church was promised to be delivered in the rapture? Yes, the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Brotherly Love. That is your church. That is who you are called to be. And I will make each of you a pillar as you fulfill your role as my bride. My bride has my heart. She aches with those who ache. She lingers with me, becoming one heart and one flesh in communion, and of course one will. She will not pass by the needs of others for her own convenience. Rather, she will go out of her way to comfort all those I bring into her presence. That is my desire for you, heart dwellers. Be a mother of souls, and leave no one in a state of need when it's in your power to comfort them in some way. Then in the day of tribulation, you shall call unto me, and I will answer you swiftly. I am here. Do not be afraid. Have no fear." Well, family, pray for me, please, to be more aware of others' needs, to be sensitive and caring even more than I have been in the past. My vision for the refuge is a community of praying souls living in a quiet and contemplative environment, with the first order of business being to comfort Jesus and pray for the needs of souls and nations around the world. In this community, there will be hermits, many hermits, who will still be attached to the others at appropriate times. Lord, I have an idea about this, but I don't want to be giving them my own opinion. Please help me. Jesus began, Claire, write in faith the words I speak to you. He knew I was doubting him. One does not take on the privilege of being a hermit by their own will. They are called and equipped for this life. In our community, there will be a mixture. But being a hermit will also entail the responsibilities of community life to a much lesser degree. Always brotherly love and unity must prevail between all of you. That is why I call you to the highest standards of honesty and transparency. Be there for one another. This is the meaning of the vision Ezekiel had about the souls living apart, but not too far apart. If they cried out for help, there was always someone there to help them. They came to the chapel at different hours of the night, but were always there for a brother or sister that called out from their hermitage in need. Each one was praying for the others and the world in their own tiny world, where heaven and earth meet, their hermitage. Whether you are isolated in another canyon or are living nearby, you are my body, and will care for that body as the need arises. A hermit must be submissive and seasoned in the ways of humility. Their isolation must not become a means of cultivating an independent and proud spirit. Rather, they must be the meekest of souls, with the exception of times in which I call them to ministry, as I did with Moses. Too many solitary brothers and sisters have never learned how to forsake their own will. They still have many boundaries that do not yield in settings with others. This is very unhealthy and will not bring them to the heights of sanctity because they've never forsaken the purse of their own opinion. But if they come to you, this will be a part of their training if they choose to live here, and they will undertake it with great zeal, as I have already established the need for it in their hearts. These are solid souls that I can use for my highest purposes, and they will learn to become acutely aware of the pitfall of an independent and proud spirit. Although they long for a life of solitary in prayer, they have mastered living in community and are not trying to escape trials. They are truly and genuinely called to full-time intercession. There will also be times when others take turns being alone and secluded for prayer. You can rotate members in this way, and all will be nurtured and grow deeper in their relationship with me. You know, I've read stories in monasteries where each brother would get a chance to go out to the hermitage on retreat, and the other brothers would meet their needs, bring them food and water, whatever they needed, so they led a life of solid prayer, they weren't interrupted. And then another brother would take a turn out in a hermitage. It was isolated. It was beautiful, really. And someone else would take on the job of being a mother to them. Jesus continued, But you will recognize the authentic ones by their meekness and desire to do what is right, even when it costs them. In the final analysis, love is the plumb line. Did they learn to love? Did you go out of your way to bring comfort to a hurting one? Or did you value your independence so highly that you distanced yourself to maintain your solitude? Surely we have covered this ground here. My beloved ones, love one another as I have loved you.